To work.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the April 13th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Perhaps. Here.
Novick.
Here.
Ritz.
Here.
Ailes.
Here. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. We have communications items up front. As usual, we'll get to them in a moment, followed by four, count them four, time certain items. So we have a number of presentations, proclamations, and special orders of business this morning. A consent calendar where I believe we've had two items pulled to regular, number 351 and 358. Is that right? Anything else to pull to the regular agenda? If not, welcome everyone. If you're here to speak on a council calendar item, you need only let our clerk know that you want to do that, and she'll have you on the list. You need only give your name, unless you're a registered lobbyist. If you don't need to give us your address. If you want to support someone's testimony in the room, feel free to give them a thumbs up or a wave of the hand. Or if you disagree with them, give them a thumbs down or some other polite hand gesture. But we ask that we reserve applause here and demonstrations for special city employees that we're honoring, students that we're welcoming, or visiting dignitaries. So if you're one of those, you might get a round of applause. So welcome, everyone. And with that, we'll turn to item 341.
Request of Sarah Hobbs to address council regarding Vista Bridge safety and suicide concerns.
Yeah, could everybody have a seat and come on up, Sarah? And we'll welcome this group that's here this morning.
For the record, my name is Sarah Hobbs, and I have been working with Friends of the Vista Bridge since the campaign to get the means reduction barriers up at the bridge started 3 years ago. There is an ongoing discussion that started again with the Goose Hollow Neighborhood Association about view over the means reduction barriers. So I went to the city archives and started looking, seeing what information I could learn there. The Vista Bridge replaced what was known as the Ford Street Bridge in 1926. I have here a letter dated January 4th, 1950 from Dr. Strom, who was asking that a 6-foot wire netting be placed on the pedestrian transit area of the Ford Street Bridge out of concerns of people looking over and getting dizzy. And also he was concerned about suicides happening at the bridge, at the Ford Street Bridge even then, and was wanting to address the issue out of concern people go up there because of the draw of the view. I have here in my hand a letter dated April 12, 1926 from J.C. Ainsworth, who was president of the United States National Bank, but was also at the time president of the Portland Heights Neighborhood Association, which was the neighborhood association that requested that the Ford Street Bridge be replaced, and they also carried the major tax burden for the building of the bridge because they requested that it be done. Here there is a request that attention be drawn to the sidewalks of the new Ford Street Bridge opening out in the center viewpoint with concrete seats. The concern of being, while addressing children climbing up on the seats and falling, generally as well, people falling on a hole. The city's response in a letter dated April 12, 1926 is, we don't think the seats on the bridge rail are going to be a problem, and even if they are, we have begun construction of the rail and we don't have the money to stop now. So what I have here is a long documented history of ongoing issues at the bridge. Commissioner Novick, you have proven if there is a will, there will be a way found to address the issues. Not only at the bridge, I notice ODOT, they've now completed or putting up means reduction rails on the problematic side of the top deck of the Fremont Bridge. So I see if there's a will, there's a way, but I question where's the will.
Sarah, thank you very much. Appreciate your research on that. Thank you.
Thank you, and I also appreciate Commissioner Novick's leadership on getting the barricade up and the partnership of many of the neighbors. It was recently brought to my attention by Sheila Hamilton that there has been research done when with the barricades were going up, folks said, well, people will just go elsewhere. And the research shows that actually they don't. That if a suicide is interrupted by a barrier like that, that perhaps because people's brains are not working well, they are not able to think of another way to hurt themselves, and that saving somebody at a bridge in particular tends to have good outcomes. So that was new information to me. I wanted to share it with everybody else because that's the kind of the common parlance is.
It's a very common comment, one that those of us that work at suicide prevention find frustrating. Great research has been done through the Harvard School of Public Health in what they call their Means Matter study, and I greatly encourage people to Google it. And look it up.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, can I get one plug in? I know, Commissioner Fritz, you always...
I was just about to ask you, Sarah, so good job.
Veterans Crisis Line, 1-800-237-8255, press 1. It is administered by the Department of Veterans Affairs, but you do not have to be affiliated with the VA to access it. The only requirement is that you be a veteran.
And Lines for Life will answer your call 24/7. They'll answer teenagers' texts 24/7. And so please be aware that there are community resources. Thank you very much for coming today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.